Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the many, many blessings you've already poured upon us all throughout this day. And we thank you oh so much for the blessing of being able to get back into your word. Please be with us now as we do that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z and the word natural or nature, if you will turn to Romans in chapter 11. And it speaks here about the natural branches. Speaking of the connection of the children of Israel to the Lord. In comparison to Gentiles being adopted into the family of God, grafted into the vine, not being the natural branches, but being equal to them. As he says here in Romans chapter 11, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not, what the scripture saith to Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be, but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So this chapter is speaking about how the Gentiles have been able to be grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ, by the mercy and grace of God. The Jews being naturally a branch, grown in that covenant, in that family of God. And we, Gentiles, being given the blessed opportunity to be grafted in and be a part of that family and of that vine, one of the branches. Thank you, Lord. All right, now go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And here we see a little bit about natural man and spiritual, speaking of that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, pick it up, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now this is a letter of Paul to the church at Corinth. It reads, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's a profound statement there. It wasn't because of years and years of teaching and studying, then he delivered what he was taught. No, this was by the revelation that the Spirit gave him. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The wisdom that we receive directly from the Spirit is what is of great value, and that's what we need to seek. As he continues, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, how we come into this world, until we become spiritually alive, quickened, brought back to life by the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, the teachings of the Word of God seem to be foolish until you have the revelation and the eye-opening experience given to you by the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. You cannot understand or comprehend the Word of God. As it says there again in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That new mind that he gives us as a result of being indwelt with the Holy Ghost. And we become a spiritual creature, born again, spiritually alive, connected directly to the Father by way of the Holy Ghost. And we currently have a physical body, a natural body, but we will one day have a glorious body that is not natural, that is extraordinary, that is immortal, that is uncorruptible, as we see described in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Let's pick it up in verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The only way to receive the knowledge of God is to listen to the Holy Ghost. The only way to have the Holy Ghost is to repent, trust in the Lord, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and He indwells you with the Holy Ghost. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, a celestial body would be the angels. A terrestrial body are the human beings. As he continues, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The last Adam here he is speaking of is Jesus Christ. Made a quickening spirit. Quickening, being able to bring to life. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now he starts talking about the changing. This is going to occur at the rapture, and we're going to be given that wondrous, glorious body. And it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink of an eye. And it is by grace that he allows us to have this wondrous, glorious body that he describes here. And this incorruptible means it will not be sinful, and it will not be able to decay and wither away. All right, back over here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pick it back up again in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This sleep is being physically dead. We will not remain in such a state. Reads, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality, that means being able to live forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have a glorious body to look forward to. And we know that this is going to happen so quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Let's look at this account, since we're speaking of the subject of receiving that glorified body. Speaking of the rapture, over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, another letter of Paul to the church at Thessalonica, where it reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise the Lord for that. And that's going to happen in that moment in a twinkling of an eye that he writes about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rapture. Known as the rapture, but the rapture translates to the words, shall be caught up. So the catching up, the receiving of that glorious body, not a natural body, but a supernatural body, a spiritual body, one that will be like the Lord, because he tells us that we will be able to be like him. Not in this first creation natural body, but in a extraordinary body. Body that is beyond our comprehension to even think what it's going to be like. We can imagine the best of the best, but still it's going to be even better than that. Because as he says over in the small epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear what we shall be. Therefore, there's nothing that you can look at or see and say, okay, that's what I'm going to be like for eternity. We don't know what we're going to be like. But see what he says. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How do you do that? By trusting in the Lord, asking for forgiveness. He cleanses you, saves you, and one day we will receive that wondrous, glorious body. Not a natural body, but a spiritual body. It will have a substance. We will be able to use that body and interact with others during the millennial period. And then however he wants us to be for the eternal state, so much to look forward to, so wondrous, and be able to be like Jesus Christ, the one who has ultimate power and authority, the one that can speak anything and everything into existence. However he chooses to be, he's going to allow us to be like him. That is so awesome. All right, now go to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2, and picking it up in verse 15. Now this, of course, is the letter of Paul to the church at Galatia, and another reference to the word nature in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles. Now this, like we read earlier about being tied into the branch by nature because of the bloodline, versus those that are unnatural branches being grafted in. There is knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is not therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live is in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, he's teaching here about the difference between Jews by nature and the Gentiles, and how the Gentiles have been able to be grafted in, like he mentioned earlier in his writings, and that through trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you get grafted in. Not by the fulfilling of the laws, the rules, the statutes, ordinances, some 613 plus or minus of the Old Testament times. That doesn't get you to salvation, even if you are one of the natural branches. You must trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ to be a part of the family of God and be looking forward to that glorious body that we just read about. Okay, now over in Galatians chapter 4. And here talking once again, using the word nature, about pagan gods in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This term Abba mean daddy or papa, giving us that connection, giving us that adoption into the family. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Reminding us where we came from, reminding them that he's speaking of there. They were worshiping pagan gods, where they came from. And if we lift anything up more precious than Jesus Christ, then therefore we are worshiping a pagan, a unnatural god. Read 8 again. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. One of the issues that they were dealing with was going back and trying to reestablish the old covenant on top of and in connection to, along with, the new covenant. Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. He brought in the new covenant. Old Testament, New Testament. He brought in the New Testament. Therefore, we are to abide by the teachings of the Lord according to the new covenant, according to the New Testament. And the New Testament is recognizing and accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the old covenant, the fulfillment of all those statutes, ordinances, and commandments of the Old Testament, that we're looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, that we're looking forward to his finished work. We now look back to what he has accomplished. Therefore, we are not bound by the Old Testament. We are not bound by the rules, regulations, the statutes, and ordinances of the Levitical priesthood. We are under the New Covenant, and Jesus Christ emphasized the two great commandments for us to abide by. When we abide by that, then everything falls right into place. All the fulfillment of, as he says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These two commandments. When we truly love God with all of our existence, we're not going to be loving those unnatural gods again. We won't be loving anything more than God. When we truly put God first and utmost in our lives and abandon all the rest of that, leave all that other behind, and then love others as ourselves, then we got it all covered. It's all blanketed over, as he said, the fulfillment of all of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for your word. It's so powerful. It's so current. Help us to realize the importance of digging in there and studying and receiving that message you want us to receive. And help all of us truly appreciate what you have in store for us. A supernatural, glorious body. Immortal. Incorruptible. So awesome. We thank you oh so much for it all. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.